Hi, my name is Ophélie, and you're listening to the Mama Activist Podcast, a podcast where we explore topics ranging from social justice, culture, politics, and news through deep conversation with myself, activists, humanitarians, and everyday people trying to make a difference. It's a space where we are willing to learn, grow, and be challenged collectively while highlighting activists doing amazing things in the world. From hearing new perspectives to learning new things, we are pushing for a better world, fighting for our liberation and reclaiming our power. So tune in and be a part of the movement.
Decolonizing the air. What is decolonization? Decolonization is about letting go of the way, the structure, forced upon us through colonization and slavery by colonizers. Decolonization requires emancipation practices. By this I mean ways that we actively decolonize and emancipate ourselves from things that no longer serves us. Emancipation means the fact or process of being set free from legal, social, or political restrictions. In other words, it means liberation. Now, what is decolonizing the air? You'll notice that I struggle sometimes with the word decolonization and decolonizing, but yeah, English is not my first language. But decolonizing the air means letting go of the social restriction that was put onto us in slavery and colonialism by white people, and also letting go of the ways that modern white supremacy impacts our hair, us, and how it oppresses us. Now, beauty in the West is in the eye of the colonizer. Beauty standards in Europe and the US are based on a particular type of beauty, one that centers a type of white femininity when it comes to women and white masculinity when it comes to men that's only accessible to a selected few, white people. In the West, there is a natural hair movement, and there is many ways that black women of color are trying to decolonize their own beauty routine. When it comes to hair, white people carry privileges that they are not even aware of it, and black women have had to reclaim their hair out of white standards of beauty that we are all objects to in the West. That episode was inspired by a conversation I had with my auntie who used to live with me when I was younger. And by the way, I am speaking to you from the UK now, Brighton. We came here about a week ago now, so we left France. And it's been nice in its own ways to be back. But what inspired that episode is a conversation I had with my auntie when I was in France. We were at my mother's birthday gathering. She had a small gathering. She called her cousins to celebrate her 54th birthday. It was beautiful, by the way. But yeah, so I had a conversation with my auntie who was wearing a beautiful natural hairstyle. You know, the one that's when we wrapped your hair in like strings, cotton strings she was using. And I thought it was beautiful, and I don't know what sparked that conversation, but I found myself talking about her with her in the kitchen. It was the fact that she wanted to leave not too late because she wanted to have a good sleep so that the next day she could do a hair care routine. So we started talking about hair, about her haircut, and I was also having a natural haircut with my own hair, no braid, had no hairs added. And so, yeah, she told me about the fact that, you know, it's been a couple of months since the last time she braided her hair with extension, that she did anything and looking after her natural hair and using her natural hair to do beautiful protective hairstyle. And I was really inspired by her and her talk and her hair, which is beautiful. And then I shared with her as well where I was on my hair journey. For me, it's been a couple of months as well since the last time I braided my hair. I mean, I had an extension to my hair. And just saying this feels very liberating as well. But yes, it's been months. So that conversation that I had with my auntie, which was really intimate, which happened in the kitchen of the home in which I grew up as well. So a home where I was experiencing this, you know, this oppression on my hair, this self-hate when it comes to hair, trying to meet beauty standard that that were never meant for us Black women, you know, having a very colonized beauty routine, hair care routine. My hair routine was very colonized. It was colonized in the ways that, you know, I was always trying to hide it. I was always trying to make it look long, almost straight. You know, I was upholding white supremacy through my hair care routine. So this conversation with my auntie actually pushed me to record that episode today. I really wanted to share where my hair journey, how it started, where I am at today, in order to inspire other Black women who might be facing the same issues or who are still trying to liberate themselves. And for me, a huge part of my liberation is linked to my hair, because hair is such a huge part of our identity, you know? Like, we play with our hair all the time. We always are supposed to have nice haircut, because it's like, it's your face. It's like the first thing that people see. And unfortunately, we are still very, very hooked on that. I mean, like, you know, your appearances are so important in the West. Like, people, if you don't look good, they won't probably like even want to notice you, because don't judge a book by its cover doesn't really apply in the West, unfortunately. So, you know, hair, such a part of your identity. And when you live in a way that this huge part of identity, you try to hide it all the time, you hate it, you are not looking after hair, after it properly, because of like a system, an oppressive system, you know, in which, because of structure that were forced upon you by people who colonized your land, who colonized your culture, who try to destroy it, Black culture, you know. So, it's such a huge part of your identity. And so for me to liberate my hair, so to stop trying to hide it, to stop destroying it in order to, I was destroying it because unconsciously and internally, like, I mean, I was aware of it to some extent, but I was trying to make it look like white people's hair. So unless I liberated that part of myself, I couldn't really say that I was on a path of liberation. Also because, you know, society hates Black women, and some things that for a long time, since forever, it tried to really make oppressed, like, in a very obvious way, is our hair. So for us to reclaim that, to reclaim our hair, to reclaim our beauty routine, reclaim our natural hair, is for us to emancipate, to truly liberate ourselves, to truly love on ourselves. And yeah, I think it's very important, and we should talk about it more often. We should open safe spaces for Black women to feel safe with their own natural hair more often. Like, it should be a normal, it should be a normalized thing. But yes, when the first time I truly realized that my hair was not free, I I do remember, but I always unconsciously lived with that knowledge that, I guess not so much with the knowledge, but with the consequences of that statement, that my hair was not free. I grew up in a very white-dominated area. I was always one of the only black person or person of color in my class growing up at school. And I was always surrounded by white people, you know, white girl with straight hair, and even when it was curly, you know, with like wavy hair, silky hair, hair that had a different, what's the word I'm looking for en français, a different texture than mine. So I was always very conscious that my hair did not look like this. And unconsciously, I wanted my hair to look like this because of all the self-hate, because of what internalized racism does to black people and communities of color. So even though I wasn't aware that I wasn't free and that I should really free myself, and you know, it takes years, it takes going through life, experiencing yourself, growing up to come to that realization. So I wasn't there yet because I was still very young, but I was aware that something was wrong with my hair, and I was actively trying to make sure that my hair didn't look like my hair, that my hair looked like my friend's hair, my white friend's hair. So I was always braiding my hair, even to the point where my edges got damaged from it. And at that age, so when I was a teenager, my teenager years, we used to relax my hair at home. I used to straighten my hair. You know, I was really not on the path of like embracing my natural hair. It was quite the opposite. So I had that knowing that something wasn't right. But it wasn't until my 20s that I realized that self-hate, that I should always hide my hair, straighten my hair, that just having my hair out is not okay, that I should always be hiding my hair, and that feeling, that was not freedom. It was in my 20s. So in my 20s, I started living in community a lot. I went from living in house sharing to living in like houses that really wanted to have that concept, active concept of living in a community. So I was living in the warehouse communities of Manor House, North London. So huge warehouses that were turned into living houses, living spaces. And I was, for about a year, I lived in this warehouse in Overbury Road. It was 12 of us. There was 10 rooms, two couples. It was 12 of us in the warehouse, and only two of us were black. And before that, I'd been traveling. I'd been like in relationships. In one relationship, where I actually struggled with letting my hair out, it was my partner at the time was white, but that even didn't made me come to that realization. I was still trying to hide it when I was with him in a way. So my housemate, so it was 12 of us, and I felt very comfortable with my housemate, even though like in terms of diversity, there was none. And you know, it's been a long time since, as of now, it's been a long time since I felt really comfortable being surrounded by only white people, like majority of white people. But in that place, I felt kind of comfortable, and I needed to do my hair, and there was no way that I could go somewhere else or hide in my room, because I would at some point would have needed the toilet, even, you know, things like this. So I just didn't want to hide, I guess. So I brought up the subject with some of my housemates, who took it who are very supportive, and who actually offered to take my hair out with me. So we were watching TV in my living room and taking my hair out, and as soon as we finished, it was like night. I went to my room, and then the next day I braided my hair again. But you know, the realization was there. I was like, I remember the feeling of washing them and how nice it felt to have my hair out, because I think that the braids that I was taking out, I had them for like a couple of months. So, you know, when you braid your hair with extension, when it lasts more than 4 weeks, it's not protective anymore. It's just damaging. Be careful of your edges. A protective hairstyle is, when using braids, is you should only keep it like up to 4 weeks, even less. It's not here to make you hide your hair or make you look a certain way. It's here to, it's supposed to be here for, to protect your hair. So really re-question those practices, because for a lot of us in the West, when I say us, I mean Black women, our hair care routine is colonized. So yeah, so I was there washing my hair, feeling nice. I went to my room and I was like, I had this feeling, like that doubt that I would love to just wear my hair like this, but I didn't. I braided my hair the next day. I moved from that warehouse a couple of weeks after to move with some of my even closer friends. And then in that warehouse, smaller warehouse, and it was very intimate, it was, you know, only most of us were women. Even the men, like, we knew each other, you know, there was that safety already, that connection, that comfortability. So I felt comfortable enough to do this. And then from that moment, I went on an active journey of trying to decolonize my hair, of trying to liberate my hair. So yes, the realization came very late, you know, it wasn't until I think I was like 24, 23, something like this. I can't remember quite exactly. I mean, I'm 28 now, but so it's been 4 years, you know, of me actively trying to do this, to actively decolonize my hair. The first liberative practice I had for my hair after that moment was to let my hair out even more between each time that I would braid my hair with extension. So, you know, every time I had to take my hairs out, for as long as I was keeping them, I had to let them out. And that was actually, it took me a few months, even I would say about a year, to truly feel comfortable with this. Not even a year, more than a year. It took me more than a year also, because after that I went to work in Greece. And like for 6 months, I didn't take my hair out. And then when I did the next day, like, you know, there was time where I failed myself. There was time I was in denial, I was ignoring it. But slowly, slowly, because I was aware of the path that I was on and to the journey and to the destination I wanted to arrive at, I just tried to be as consistent as I could, even. And I tried to being compassionate and empathic with myself every time I failed myself, and, you know, to pour into those failure even more love. And now, you know, years after, my hairs right now, I'm wearing them naturally. I haven't braided them since last year, and when I did, I left it for like 2-3 weeks, you know, and I've been trying to use my natural hair more, to do like to have like more hairstyle using my natural hair, to stop from thinking that my hair should look a certain way. And even now I have those moments where, you know, I'm like, oh, my hairs are flat, like I don't really know what hairstyle to do, like everybody look cool with their long hair, and I realize that this is my mind still being colonized. Because when you think about it, who told us, like, why is it wrong for me to have my natural hair, even though it doesn't look like big, it doesn't look like, you know, like I really, really have to question myself about those narratives that I have within myself. And this is what decolonizing the hair means for me. It's not just letting go of like certain practices, like hair care practices that we have, is also questioning why we had them, and why it would be wrong for me to just let them out. The other day I was with one of my friends, and I took my hairs out, and I just loved them like this. It didn't really look organized or anything, but my hairs were out after I took my braids out, and you know, with Afro hair, especially when like you've braided them after, it's like you can't really, like when you let them out like this, you don't, they don't follow the same laws of gravity that white people's hair do. But my hair will just stay like I left them. So if I unbraided them like up, they will stay up, you know. But so amongst my friends were my friend's son, Aizana, lovely, lovely being. And he had a little remark. He said, are you going to do your hair? Because it looks weird like this. And it's like, why, like a part of me really felt like, oh yes, it looked weird. You know, I actually, I was really hard on myself. You know, I was like, yeah, I should hide them. And I, it made me feel uncomfortable, and I should have said something, because, you know, we have to teach our kids better. We have to teach our kids that it's okay for black hair to just be like this, to just be without having to look a certain way. But yeah, I actually looked at myself and I was like, yeah, let me braid them. And still, I'm not sure what really was that, like if it was I was triggered, because some part of me realized that I was still trying to make my hair look good for other people. And because in a way I failed myself, but not truly, because again, I have to be not so hard with myself. Like that made me realize that, you know, some part of me still felt like I had to make other people comfortable when it came to my hair, because my hair are Afro hair. So they're not really okay just being. So I really had to question some things. Again, the process of being set free. You go through a lot. It's not an easy process. That path of liberation is, what you get from it is worth everything. But while you go through it, you know, you might face a lot of challenges, some things that feel hard, feel almost impossible to achieve, but it's possible. And when you do, you really truly feel that, like, you feel liberated. And there's nothing like feeling like this in this world, like feeling truly safe and liberated within yourself. So yeah, when he made that comment, I actually, it made me want to do that, what I'm doing today. I'm taking care of my hair, which is why I'm recording that episode now after I'm sleeping. But today I'm taking care of my hair. So this morning I did a little mask using some oil, some shea butter, some banana that I blended together. I wanted to add some essential oils, but I haven't had time to buy any since we got back. But yeah, and then I'm going to wash my hair with black soap. Yeah, I'm using black soap as shampoo. I want to do an article or a podcast episode about this as well, about how many natural, like how we should try to use more natural things, and that we also think we can use for certain things. Actually, you can, like me using black soap with my hair, I actually have to melt the black soap in water first, and then I can wash my hair. Then yesterday I made rice. I washed the rice with water. I don't know the word in English, but rice is something called amidon, and then it's really good for your hair. It's full of nutrients, vitamins. So I kept the water in which I rice the rice, and I'm going to put this in my hair after as a conditioner. So this is me trying to have this self-care routine where I allow myself to have my hair just looking like this, because even though now I'm still wearing my natural hair, you know, I'm always putting it in a nice haircut, and I don't actually know that many hairstyles for when using my natural hair. And also, to do it to yourself, you know, you have to learn. So they're always in plates, and so me doing this is really allowing them to just be free for what they are without, you know, having them put in a certain way that makes me look okay, and it's still me decolonizing myself from what I think beauty is, and me trying to meet those standards that were not meant for me, and they are like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, they shouldn't be here, you know, and they are too hard on us. This is what I'm trying to say. And this is really me letting go of ways and structure that was forced upon us by colonization, is true, but also by modern white supremacy and by modern white beauty standards that are oppressing everybody and that we are upholding when we don't like realize that we are not free, like that society oppresses black women and her hair, and that in order for her to be on that path of liberation, she also has to liberate her hair. I mean, I hope it makes sense, but this is what decolonizing there meant for me, and why it's important, because yeah, like to live with a part of yourself that you deny constantly, that you're not okay with, that you try to hide. You are not free. You are not. You know, you are not liberated. It feels so free. It feels so nice when you can be just who you are, you know? And this is what true liberation means for me, in a way. Like one aspect of that liberation is me being able to be free, like my physically, and my liberation is not just physical, is many aspects of it, but the huge aspect of it is not the main one, but one of the aspects of it is that. And now, yeah, like in terms of like decolonizing my hair care routine, my beauty routine, you know, I'm not using any makeup. I'm not trying to be nice in the eye of the colonizer, but of myself first. So I'm really rediscovering things, not doing things to look good for other people, but for myself. And yeah, that is what decolonizing the air means for me. Anyway, for any black woman anyone from the black community who is on that path of decolonizing their hair, and came across that episode, I hope that what I shared with you, like, yeah, helped or inspired you, and motivates you to truly liberate yourself, because, you know, us being that liberated, us being free, this is our rebellion. Us loving on ourselves, you know, spending time with ourselves, taking care of ourselves within communities, is a rebellion.